is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Now, we've got Lisa Beeney in, and we're talking about energy, we're talking about gas, we're talking about electric, we're talking about prices, how to save money. Where do we start? Well, today's October the 1st. We ought to have started a while back.
Yes, but today is a really important day. So if you don't have a smart meter, please take meter readings and send them through to your energy companies, because all the prices change today. So if you send them a meter reading, you know you'll be accurately charged for what you've used at the cheaper rate and then what you will use at the more expensive rate. If you don't send a meter reading, your energy company will estimate how much you've used at the cheaper rate and how much will be at the more expensive rate. And I'm yet to find many people where the estimates go in their favour.
I was going to ask you about what's the alternative if you don't do it, and obviously you're going to be out of pocket. Eventually you'll get your money back at some point, but...
Well, you might not, because say over a two-month period, you've used 150 units of electricity. The energy company might split it down the middle and say, OK, 75 are at the cheaper rate, 75 are the more expensive. But the reality might be you actually used 100 units at the cheaper rate and only 50 at the more expensive. But you'll have no way of knowing that, and neither will they, unless you take meter readings and send them through to your energy company.
This is sneaky, because on that basis, do they send you reminders? Should they send you reminders? And do they want you to send reminders if it means that they could quite possibly make more money out of you?
They won't send you reminders. We all have responsibilities in life, and letting your energy company know how much you're using actually is your responsibility.
Right.
So if you don't have a smart meter, it's down to you to take those meter readings. I think the energy companies, their only obligation is to come out and do a meter reading once a year. So in a year, we could have four price changes. If you have a smart meter, the readings are sent through to them automatically, so you don't need to worry about it. So there are real advantages in having a smart meter, and accurate bills has got to be one of the biggest.
So if your advice today is, it's October the 1st, do a reading, send it in.
Take a meter reading, send it in. Even if you can't get through to them on the phone today, give them a call in a couple of days' time and give them the date of the meter reading, but it was the 1st of October.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So that's the first thing to do today. And how long does it take? Well, I don't know, 5-10 minutes?
If that.
And it might save you a few quid.
It might do, yes.
Yeah, definitely. What other common mistakes do we make, especially this time of year?
I've been to see a few people recently who couldn't understand why they were using as much energy as they were, because it's summer, so nobody's got their heating on. Very little happening in the way of cooking, not a lot of lighting being used, but still quite high energy bills. And when we looked at everything they were using, it turns out they had the immersion heater on for their hot water, and that was switched on and left on 24 hours a day. And that is quite a large user of energy in the house. So one particular house that I visited, they're not connected to the gas main, so everything is electric. They've got night storage heaters, and therefore, to get hot water, they have to have an immersion heater to heat the hot water. But they also have an electric shower. They don't use a bath. Things like washing machines and dishwashers are cold fill only. So the reality is, they use very little water from their hot water cylinder. It's only what they use for washing up. So you don't need to keep a great big tank full of hot water, actually almost boiling hot, 24 hours a day, just for doing your washing up two or three times a day. So we were able to make sure that we turned off the daytime switch, because if you've got an economy 7, the chances are you'll have two switches by your immersion heater, a day and a night. And we made sure that the timer on the night one is set for it just to come on for 2 hours, which is enough to heat up the hot water in the cylinder 2 hours a day at cheap rate, rather than having it on 24 hours a day at full rate. And that should be quite a saving for their energy.
Well, that's something simple, isn't it? I mean, I tell you what I did recently. My computer was running a little bit sluggish, so you check to see what is taking up all the brain power and so on. And if you can work that out, you can probably work out what's costing you the most money in your house, knowing full well that, you know, you're paying for that. Whereas if my computer's running slow, it's not costing me anything. Not really. Although it might cost me a little bit extra because it might take you the job a little bit longer. But, you know, we're more inclined to do that for whatever reason. And maybe we should just look at what we use and have a good knowledge of how we use it. You just explained that the warming up a cylinder just so you can do a bit of washing up. And I don't think we've got one of those in our house, so we don't have to worry about it. But you obviously do if you have. And I'm thinking Economy 7. We used to have Economy 7 in the first flat that I'd bought back in about 1985. And I was always led to believe that it was really expensive and not very good. Is that the case?
No, it depends on what you have in the way of your heating. But if you have night storage heaters, they heat up overnight and let the heat out during the day. So overnight, the rate is lower. And during the day, it's about the same or perhaps a penny more expensive. But if you're using most of your energy overnight and you're paying about 10p per unit less, that makes up for the extra penny on each unit during the day. If you're not using the night storage heaters anymore, and we find some people just switch them off, then it's worth considering going back to a standard flexible tariff or even a fixed rate tariff. But that's things that we can help people with, because every home is different. The other thing you were saying about knowing where your energy goes, again, that's where smart meters can help, because you get this little in-house display. Even if you totally ignore the costs on it, you can see the little gauge on it go up and down as you turn things on and off. So you can just have a look at it and see, are you still using electricity? And you might go around your house and turn everything off and see that there's something in your home that is still using electricity. And that can help you find things like the immersion heater that you've forgotten about.
Yeah.
There can be all sorts of things. It could be a freezer in the garage that you've got your one pack of frozen peas in that you don't actually need on all the time. So there are all these things that we just forget about because we don't see them. And the other thing with electricity, you don't have to go to a shop and buy a trolley full of electricity and come home and use it. The exception to that is if you have a key meter, where you do go out and you top up your energy and your key, you put the key in and then you get to use it. If you're paying by direct debit, you don't have that at all. So you've got no real feeling as to how much you're using each day, each week or each month. It's just permanently there at the flick of a switch. And that makes us all, not necessarily lazy, but we just take it for granted. And I think it's only since we've had this energy crisis and seen the prices go up, are we all starting to take a bit more notice of that, because we're realising how much money it's actually costing us.
Do you know, it's incredible. I used a computer analogy just now, and I think now I've got a better one. Recently, and I know lots of people have said this, that they've got iPhones, and the latest update, they've had to delete a load of stuff on their phones to make way for the new update. And I think if you look at your phone and you do that, and you're willing to take the time and say, right, I'm going to offload this, I'm going to delete that, you're taking the time and the trouble to do that, then when really you're probably better placed to or better off taking note of what electric you're actually burning and what's plugged into what and what's costing you the real money, because that's going to save you money. Deleting a couple of apps on your phone isn't.
Yes, and it's not just about saving money, but it's being in control of things in your home. And it's feeling that you have that sense of knowing what everything's using and knowing how much things are costing you. I'm a great believer that information is power. And if you have the information about your own home, that gives you the power over your bills. And if we can all lower our bills just a bit each month, that's not just a one-off saving, that's a saving every single month.
And definitely,
that over a year, 2 years, 3 years, it adds up to something really quite considerable.
So what other common mistakes are we making at this time of year?
Leaving back doors open when you go into the garden, because we're getting to the stage now where the heating's just coming on, but it still seems sunny outside. So you pop out into the garden to do something, you leave a back door open. You're letting your heat out.
Now, yeah.
So,
especially in the morning and in the evening as well, when there is a chill in the air.
Yes, and other little things, talk about the evenings, as it starts to get dark, that's the time to draw your curtains. Because simple things like drawing your curtains will reduce your heating bill.
Is there such a thing as a winter curtain and a summer curtain, do you think?
You have curtains that have thermal linings and curtains that don't. So if you have curtains that with thermal linings, they'll keep more heat in than curtains that don't. So I would never advocate people go out and buy two sets of curtains, because thermal curtains will still work in the summer as well as the winter.
Right.
But
okay. Stupid question then.
No, not a stupid question. I know people that do have summer curtains and winter curtains, but
okay. No,
do you want to spend the money on two sets of curtains?
Yeah, it's not going to save you money, but it might make you a bit more comfortable in winter and summer.
Yes, but even your thermal curtains in the summer, on one of those incredibly hot days you get, you can pull those and that will keep the heat out of the room.
Yeah, no, that makes sense as well. Okay, any other common mistakes that we make this time of year? I mean, there's obviously we've got to go around and we've got to check a few things, make sure that the drafts in your door, your excluder is working and so on. It's lovely to have it in the summertime because it's a bit of a draft maybe, but in the wintertime, no, it's going to eat into your heating bill, isn't it?
It is. I mean, other things this time of year when you come to turn your heating back on, make sure your boiler flow temperature is 60 degrees or lower. Otherwise, your boiler won't be working as efficiently as it could. Make sure you check your radiators and bleed them if needed. So if they feel colder at the top than they do at the bottom, the chances are they've got air in them. And those two small changes together can save you 10 to 15% on your gas bill.
Well, that's worth doing, isn't it? That really is worth doing. So, OK, we've got a lot of advice this time. The first thing that people should do when they get home today is check your do a meter reading,
yeah,
and send that in, because that could save you money in the long run, as you've explained already. So that's one useful tip. Prices are going up again. That's the bad news, but only
by 1 or 2%. But depending what tariff you're on, there are some really good fixed tariff deals around, so you can fix the prices for about a year. And that could save you a couple of £100. So it's worth, if you like the energy company that you're with and you find them easy to get hold of and talk to and you don't want to switch, just phone up your existing energy company. Say to them, I'm thinking of leaving. Can you offer me a better fixed deal? And see what they say. If you're not that worried about switching, look at one of the online services like uswitch.com. They'll ask you to put in your details and you can get some comparisons, but always compare the unit rate and the daily standing charge rather than the monthly total they give you. So monthly total is based on an average house, but it's the actual unit rates and the daily standing charge will be the biggest things that affect your own personal bills.
Okay, look, great advice as ever. We've running out of time. So if people want a home visit, if they want to have more detail, there's a website that we can go to.
Yes, head along to greenIOW.org.uk. Our email address is info@greenIOW.org.uk. And our phone number is 01983 668 900. And as well as the home visits, we do have our winter energy essentials packs for people that really need them.
So get in touch, because that is going to be really useful. That is, well, just remind us again what's in the pack.
There's a heated throw, so you can plug it in and it's wrap it round you and they keep you lovely and warm. There are some energy saving light bulbs that will save you money. There's some draft excluder strips, so if you've got any little gaps around your windows, you just peel off the backing, put it round the edge, close the window again, and it will fill that gap. And then there's some radiator reflector foil that it looks like shiny bubble wrap. Cut it to size and pop it down the back of your radiators, and that will reflect the heat back into the room rather than all just going out through the wall.
Brilliant. As ever, thank you so much for the advice, and thanks for coming in, and really enjoyed you on your beanie bike stories, and look forward to seeing more photographs of the Isle of Wight. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to come back next month, and we're going to talk about something that you're going to be doing next year.
Yes, that we hope to have. That at the moment, there is an embargo on us releasing information on it.
Right.
So I'm hoping that will be lifted.
You tease. Okay, so we'll see you the first Wednesday in November, and it will be colder.
It certainly will be.
So if you don't get the advice put in place now, we're going to shout at you in a month's time to tell you what you should be doing.
We won't shout. We'll just say very nicely.